Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakes Auville today. Mm-hmm. EB traveling to see his daughter play volleyball. She plays at Cornell. Believe they're in Indiana to play Valpo.
Yep, he's out and about. He's out in the world.
He, of course, would be despondent if the Commanders lose on Sunday. We'll give you our official picks later in the program. But it is time to hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Just sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. So the big news coming out of Commanders Park is they have decided to place Emmanuel Forbes, the second-year corner, on the injured list, as he will have a surgery to repair a torn UCL. He has a banged up thumb. He's going to have surgery on his thumb.
Hey, you know what? Did I have something in common with Forbes. I remember I had the weird clicky thumb like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't cover anybody, but we both have injured thumbs.
Did that happen when he grabbed McMillan's face mask down the middle of the field?
I'm not sure if that was the root cause of it or not. But he will not be out on the field this Sunday or probably for the next at least four Sundays.
Four games, right?
Look, he had a PFF grade of 33.5 in his performance against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
He was benched. Look, this is his second coaching staff to bench him. He got benched by Ron Rivera, who picked him.
Yeah,
it looks like a horrible pick in hindsight. When you look at what Christian Gonzalez has done, who was picked one pick after him, I believe, in the draft. When you look at what Joey Porter Jr. has done in Pittsburgh, I'm pretty sure he was the first pick of the second round in that same draft. All he did in week one this year was go down and lock down Drake London.
Yeah.
And he did nothing. So did they have to do the surgery now? Probably not, but I was listening to JP Finley's podcast, Beltway Football, on the way in. It's a convenient time to get it done, to shelve him. Maybe, maybe he can restore his confidence. But it's just not working out with Emmanuel Forbes.
Yeah. You don't want to write off a guy after a rookie season plus one game.
Right.
But I think a lot of the fans have written him off.
Yeah.
And I might be jumping on that pile too. It's probably not going to work out for Emmanuel Forbes. He's a Ron Rivera pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say that for 80% of the last four drafts, yeah, probably.
And now, the encouraging thing is Noah Igbinine, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think that's pretty close. He stepped in when Forbes went to the sideline, and he performed pretty well. He had a PFF grade of 72.3. He was the second highest PFF graded player on Washington's defense last week. Now, I know that's not great because their defense got shredded and got annihilated by the Bucs.
Yeah.
But you're trying to find
one of the few bright spots.
You're trying to find some silver linings here.
Yeah, and Dan Quinn and obviously Joe Witt came from Dallas. Right. They know this guy because he also came from Dallas. Mm-hmm. So
he's a former first-round pick?
Yep. It's
30th pick in 2020, so he's got talent.
It's not a big loss in terms of possibly beating the Giants, but maybe for depth. It hurts you a little bit, but I think they'll be fine. It's not a huge loss.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, it may just be a move of convenience so that they can get Noah on the field and you don't have to hear anything about, well, what's going on with Forbes? Well, now you know he's on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if this kid can play. Former first-round pick, drafted 30th overall in 2020.
It's going to be interesting to see, kind of flipping it over, going to the offensive side, how early and often they get McLaurin involved. Because last week, Tampa had some injuries during the game. They lost at least a couple of defensive backs, if not three. And McLaurin, he was just shut down for the entire game. What did he finish with, two catches? I think two catches for 17 yards. It'll be interesting to see how early Kingsbury goes to him.
Oh, I think he's got to go.
And Eckler. I think Eckler and McLaurin need to be targeted a bunch early in this game.
Yeah, they're both going to have bigger roles.
They have to.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Did you hear Kingsbury yesterday talk about what he described as the worst play call of his life?
I did hear that, yes.
So he was referring to the second touchdown run from Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touchdown run. You would think it was a good play, but basically he said, I didn't give him a check at the line to check out of it, and it wasn't a great look, but Jaden, just being as talented as he is, was still able to run it in despite the fact that the defense kind of had that play covered.
Mm-hmm. They probably learned a lot on film this week based on what they saw. So I think that things, I don't know if it'd be drastically different, but things are going to be different early in this game. I don't think you're going to see Jaden, running as much as he did. I think they're going to target McLaurin early. I think they're going to target Eckler early. Maybe they give Robinson more carries. We'll see. But the one thing that I am kind of concerned about the fact that the Giants defensive line did not get to Sam Darnold last week, and they got a couple guys who can get after
him.
And I'm sure they've worked on stuff this week too to try and take advantage.
Burns and Thibodeau, I would expect to be heavily involved.
So I think they're going to be active, and they'll probably be a factor. I just don't think offensively they're good enough to beat Washington, but we'll see. It'll be a bad loss.
Sam Fortier had a good breakdown in the Washington Post in his latest column, and it was kind of a retort to Thomas Boswell's column. So I think we mentioned Boswell's column in the Washington Post yesterday or the day before, that he wrote that if Jaden Daniels runs like he has in the first week, every week, he will shatter. That essentially was what he was positing. 14 runs too much. Well, Fortier went through all the runs, and he says in the end, Daniels took just four hits while running. Three were on design runs, and one was on a scramble that was flagged for being helmet to helmet. He also took two hits on sacks in the pocket.
Yep.
But in terms of all of the runs, He didn't take that many hits.
It just takes one.
It does take one, but I thought he did a pretty good job of protecting himself, going down when he could, finding the out-of-bounds marker when he could. Like, I thought he did a pretty good job, of, especially for a rookie, making his debut. He didn't get caught in a lot of bad situations where he was just going to get punked by the defense.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging, but I agree. 16 carries seems like a lot.
It is a lot.
It's just not going to happen.
I don't think he had 16 carries in a game at all last year at LSU.
Right.
Year before, his first year at LSU, he had a bunch. They used him a lot more.
Right.
Or maybe he was just scooting and looking to run a lot more in his first year at LSU. Mm-hmm. But last year, he didn't have 16 carries in a game, I don't believe. And, you know, even if he's taking four or five hits, and it only takes one, Cakes. And if he's going to take four or five hits a week the way he's built, it's one of them is going to end his game.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of injury notes as we get ready for week two against the Giants. First of all, Noah Brown may play. They say he's up to speed. But on the injury front, Johnny Newton, Dan Quinn says, is trending in the right way. He, of course, was second-round pick, defensive tackle. We mentioned Emmanuel Forbes. He's been sidelined. And tight end Zach Ertz. I guess they just give him rest days. You got a rest day on Wednesday. I
mean, he's a vet. Is he 33 or 34? Give that guy some rest when he needs it. He's a veteran. He's been in the league forever. I got no problem with them giving a guy like that a rest day. You see it all throughout the league.
Man, the Giants were just so bad offensively, though, last week. I mean, they can't be this bad back-to-back weeks.
Or could they be?
I mean, if they are, I think you're going to see Daniel Jones sit in the bench in week three.
Neighbors really popped up on the injury report yesterday with a knee issue, but I saw reports that might have also been just like a maintenance type of day, where they're just kind of resting him heading into the game. He's a rookie. You wouldn't think he would need a maintenance day, so who knows who to believe. We can ask Paul Dottino about that. The guy I'd be worried about is Wandale Robinson, who's a real safety valve for Daniel Jones. And look, we saw Sanders still struggle covering Chris Godwin. Wandale Robinson is a quick, shifty guy that's going to work out of the slot. That's going to be a tough matchup for a rookie. Hopefully, Sanders still bounces back and is able to somewhat limit him. That's going to be a guy that Daniel Jones is looking to.
One of the
12 targets last week.
Yeah.
And I think Darius Slayton got hurt last week.
He did get banged up. So you would think Wandale Robinson's role expands even a little bit more if Slayton is limited or can't play.
One of the supposed strengths of the New York Giants is their pass rush. Mm-hmm. They traded for Brian Burns. They have Kayvon Thibodeau, who finished with 11.5 sacks last year. Could be a challenge for the Commanders' offensive line. PFF came out with their grades. The 33rd team came out with their grades. The offensive line actually performed admirably if you look at week one.
Yeah.
According to PFF, Cornelius Lucas was one of the best tackles in all of football in week one.
I would love to see Thibodeau get stoned for two reasons. One, he's had a lot of success against Washington in his short career so far. Two, I just think he's kind of a punk, because if you saw him after the loss last week to the Vikings in the locker room, when somebody from the press asked him about the defensive line's role in letting the Vikings steamroll them and rack up 28 points. Mm-hmm. He basically just said, next question, not even going to address that.
Right.
So, like, do you take ownership when you play poorly and your team plays poorly? Apparently not.
So you're anti-Thibodeau.
Well, I would just like to see the Commanders run the ball his way and to see him get trucked. I'd like to see that.
I do want to see how the line holds up, because, all right, Lucas, who we're kind of expecting to be a backup if Brandon Coleman's healthy.
Yeah.
Coleman ended up playing 14 snaps in the game. So Lucas took the majority of the snaps. He graded out at basically an 86.
Love that.
Pass blocking grade, which was sixth amongst all the tackles in week one.
That's very encouraging.
And PFF had the team ranked 14th, which is above average.
That's a huge win for an offensive line heading into the season that was getting graded pretty much in the 30s. Like 30 to 32, somewhere in that range.
And then the 33rd team does their own rankings.
Yeah.
In pass protection, they had the Commanders 19th. So right in the middle of the pack.
Mm.
Not terrible.
It's still better than a lot of the predictions had them. And hopefully, you know, they just gel as they keep playing together, have more cohesiveness, you know, through weeks two later into the season and get better.
I mean, hopefully the guys that they added in the offseason, and then maybe Coleman once he comes in, a young guy, really uplift this offensive line. As I thought, Jaden, who did, look, he took off and ran a bunch, but he actually, by the statistics, was only pressured 8 times.
Yeah.
Which is not terrible.
So offensively, like I said, I think you're going to see McLaurin a lot early.
I'll be disappointed.
I think you're going to see Eckler more.
If McLaurin doesn't have 9 to 10 targets, I mean, you have to target your best receiver.
100%. 100%.
Especially for a young signal caller.
And let's see if Kingsbury moves him around a little bit. I know that's not his MO.
I don't know if I would count on seeing that.
I'm just saying, you never know. Because they probably saw things on film where, hey, we can take advantage of this, this, and this.
Right.
Especially with some of the injuries. Because I believe one of the linebackers, Nick McCloud, got hurt last week, too, for the Giants. I think he's a question mark. But Minnesota, Aaron Jones ran for almost 100 yards.
Right.
He was averaging almost 7 yards per carry. I just think they can kind of take advantage of that with whether it's Robinson or Eckler.
I'd love to see Eckler with 10 to 12 touches.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you got
a little bit more.
I think you got to double Eckler's touches from last week.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Last week it was 6.
Get him 12 to 14 touches. That's sweet spot.
At minimum 10 to 12, if not more, 100%.
Coming up next, we will talk to a Giants insider. Paul Dottino covers the Giants for WFAN in New York. It's a Football Friday here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. On a football Friday, scheduled to join us here in a couple of minutes, Paul DeTino covers the Giants for WFAN in New York. I got to tell you, I think I'm so sleep deprived staying up for Monday Night Football and then
Thursday Night Football.
I didn't even stay up late last night. Once it hit 31-10, I tapped out. But it's like 10:30 or something like that.
I was going to say, that was pretty late.
Today was one of those days. I don't know if this happens to you often. I don't think it's happened to me, but a handful of times in the history of the show, which is 28 years, and we've done mornings for 22 of them. The alarm went off, and I thought it was Saturday. And I went to turn it off, and I almost, there was like 5 seconds. So I have
a little fuzzy.
An alarm. My charger wire broke. So I plug it in, and it doesn't even reach my nightstand.
Right.
So I got to get up, and that's kind of a good thing.
That's a great thing.
I got to take a step.
Yeah.
Basically, one step, get up, and I turn off the alarm, and I was like, it's freaking Saturday. Why did I leave the alarm on?
Yeah, your brain is playing tricks
on you. Then as I started to put my head to the pillow again, I was like, oh, wait a second. It's not Saturday
yet.
Oh,
wait. It's Friday.
Does that happen to you at all?
Oh, sure. Like, lose track of what day it is. Like, the second you wake up, because you're foggy. Like, I mean, you're in blissful sleep, okay? You're deep REM sleep or whatever level of sleep you're in. Then your alarm goes off, and it takes a few minutes to get your bearings. I'm speaking for me. I'm not this silly and lucid right when I wake up, okay? I'm not this.
Takes you a while to get that silly.
Yeah, I'm not this alert, and you know, so it takes a little while to figure things out.
I think the reverse happens to me more often, where I wake up in a panic on a weekend. Not that that's happened that often, but you wake up on the weekend like, oh, I got to go to work. Now, that is a blissful reaction when you then realize, oh, no, I don't.
Then
you go back to sleep.
I have noticed a disturbing trend. I'm starting to, I feel like I'm getting old because I'm starting to wake up earlier on the weekends than I ever have. Some weekends,
6:37.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, I'd sleep till 8:30, 9 sometimes. Now I wake up like 6:30, 6:45. I don't like it. I don't like this new trend.
You don't have any teenagers in the house anymore.
I do not.
But the big contrast I have is, let's say on a Saturday, like this weekend, I've got a soccer game at 8:15. So that's like early. But sometimes I'll have a soccer game at 9 or 10, and we'll get home, and Dylan is still in bed.
Ah, those are the good old days. The glory years. Yeah. Teenagers and I'll go, sleep super late.
I was like, are you just getting up? He's like, no, I've been up for 20 minutes.
Right.
And it's 11:30.
You know what? That's called the dream. Keep sleeping in, Dylan. You're not going to be able to do it forever. Take advantage of it while you can. It's a good bit. I used to do that. I used to upset my dad, too, back in the day. But, hey, what am I going to do? I was 16 or 17. What did I care?
When you're on your vacation in Kiowa, you're not waking up at 6:45,
are
you? No,
but I'm waking up like at 7:30 or 8.
Yeah. That's normal.
Yeah,
I mean, JP, that hasn't happened to me where I hear the alarm and then I think it's the next day.
Right.
That doesn't happen to me. You know why? Because my alarm never goes off.
You always beat it.
I'm telling you, 95% of the year, I get up before the alarm.
That's good.
My body just wakes up and I look at the clock and
I
don't fall back into a deep sleep.
Yeah.
My body refuses to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would never happen to me.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of depressing because I get terrible sleep. I really do. You guys think I get great sleep? I don't. Because my body wakes up at 12:31 and I'm in and out of sleep.
Sure.
For the next 3 hours till I get out.
Sleep is so fractured.
I don't sleep through until 4 o'clock.
Right.
It sucks.
What's going on with Paul DeTino, Drab?
I believe we're tracking him now. He might be calling in shortly.
Gotcha.
Give us some enemy intel on the Giants.
We're good. We're good. Just a couple phone issues on our end here.
Okay.
Cool. Yep.
Cool.
All right. Just real quick.
Yeah, we're good. We're good to go.
All right.
All right. Paul joins us right now. Of course, he's with WFAN, covers the New York Giants. And man, Daniel Jones has taken a lot of shrapnel this week, Paul.
How about atomic bombs?
Yeah.
It's coming from all over, and not just the New York metropolitan area. It seems as though the entire country is piling on this kid. You know, the shame of it is for him, and we all know that the quarterback is always going to be the magnet for the good and for the bad every week. He played very, very poorly, but so did the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling people right after the game, I said, look, if you ever wanted to know the definition of a skunk game, this was it for the Giants. They were just awful all around.
Paul, I felt the worst for him when I saw the video of him walking out to his vehicle outside of MetLife after the game. And the fans are just booing him and just, you know, just killing him on the way to his car. It's like, if you want to boo him in the stadium while he's on the field, whatever. But, like, I just felt like that was, you know, that was crossing the line, I thought, by the Giants fans to basically attack him in the player parking lot.
Yeah, to his credit, he is one of those guys who takes his lead from Eli Manning.
Right.
You know, he learned under Eli. He's always had the same demeanor as Eli. And he says he shuts out all the outside noise. I'd have to say the instance that you're talking about, it's pretty hard to shut that out.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he has. I have no reason not to believe him. But you have to also think that deep down inside, he'd love nothing more than to have a get-well game against a Washington team that he has done extremely well against during the course of his career, which could at least throw some ice buckets on the fire.
Well, was it especially tough for Giants fans to see Daniel Jones outplayed by Sam Darnold, who had, you know, some well-documented struggles with the Jets being such a high pick there? But if it was any other quarterback other than Sam Darnold, I don't think it would have been as bad. But for Darnold to lead the Vikings to such a convincing win over the Giants in MetLife, I think that added an extra subplot to the loss.
It may have, but to be frank with you, I'm not so sure that it made a whole lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
There is a segment of the Giants fandom out there that is absolutely 1,000% blinders on, dead set against Daniel Jones, and won't be happy until he's out of the lineup. And that's just the way it is. He could throw for 5 touchdown passes on Sunday, and they'll still find something wrong with him. That's just how badly some of the worms have turned in this situation. And look, I'm sure you guys have seen it before, too. You've had a franchise down there in D.C. that's had a lot of trouble in recent years. And there's a player that folks just get all their britches up in a bunch about, and they're not going to let go. You know, if he's 29 for 30, they're going to complain about the one incompletion.
Well, Paul, if there was a team that Daniel Jones could potentially throw 5 touchdowns against, it would be the Commanders, because last week in Tampa, they allowed 15 catches to the wide receivers for almost 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. Now, my question on top of that is, what's the status of Malik Nabers? We saw him pop up on the injury report for a knee issue. I saw some reports said it wasn't anything major. It was kind of a maintenance day. Can you give us the latest on Malik Nabers and what his status is for the game?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, it was more of a maintenance day, just a bit of soreness after the opening day game. And remember now, you guys have real grass down there in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Giants played on turf this past week. Not that that was necessarily anything to do with it, because, you know, over the years, the MetLife Stadium turf has gotten a lot of negative pub. I don't necessarily know that that's what caused his knee to get a bit sore, but I think it was just precautionary. You know, they understand that he is their most dangerous, most potent offensive weapon, and they're going to treat him with kid gloves because, you know, long-term over the course of the season, they know they need him to be big. And, you know, if it means he's got to take a practice or two off every once in a while because he's a little sore, I think the Giants are going to be okay with that.
Paul, how did you and the rest of the media feel about the decision to let Saquon go? Especially to a division rival, and he obviously has a bomb first game with 3 touchdowns. Devin Singletary comes in, his third team now. He was with Houston last year for 1 year. He had 37 yards last week, so the Vikings obviously did a very good job against the run because Daniel Jones just wasn't a threat passing the ball. But how did you feel about letting Saquon go?
Well, I think the best way I can answer that is from the general New York perspective. I told people, I said, listen, as a fan, you have to hate it, right? I mean, he was the face of the franchise. He was one of the few bright spots on offense over the last several years. And he goes to an arch rival that, let's not kid ourselves, no matter how much Dallas and Washington are in the division and there's a lot of heat there, there is no more heat than between the Giants and Philadelphia. The turnpike tussle, the rivalry right down to the end of the state, there is tremendous bad blood amongst the fan bases between these two teams. So as a Giants fan, per se, I could understand why they were so disgusted and so upset with the situation. As someone who understands football and the business aspect of the game, the Giants absolutely did what they had to do. Saquon Barkley sold out the Giants. He went to the team that was offering him the most money, did not have any remorse or regrets about it, after pledging for well over a year that he wanted to be a Giant for life and wanted to get his number retired here and wanted to be one of the all-time greats and help this franchise win. Well, talk is cheap when somebody starts throwing around the keys to Fort Knox. And so that's what happened. He got the richest deal he could get his hands on, jumped at it, and that was a business decision. You know, and so I think if you're the Giants, you could not chase him up the economic ladder to pay an outrageous number of dollars that the Eagles paid. Remember, we're talking about a guy who has not exactly been the most durable back in the league. And I think he, without question, he's one of the top five most talented all-around running backs in the NFL.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind about that. Okay? But, and it wasn't like the Giants were going to pay him like the 15th back. No, as I understood it, their offer was going to put him right up there at the borderline of the top five backs. But he wanted, you know, to be like the second highest paid back. Well, the Giants could not do that, especially with an offensive line that needed to gain some financial resources to improve. And so they did what they had to do. Business-wise, I thought the Giants were right, and Barkley certainly did what was right for his bank account.
Talking to Paul Dottino, covers the Giants for WFAN in New York. So one of the strengths of the Giants should be their pass rush. They couldn't generate anything last week against the Vikings, taking on a Commanders offensive line that we had a lot of questions about. What do you expect from Burns and Thibodeau and the Giants pass rush this week?
You know, you may laugh, fellas, but that to me, as I looked at this Giants team last week, was the most disappointing factor of the entire day. Yeah, I know the offense was terrible, and you could say, well, why in the world wouldn't you say that? I'll say because there is so much talent on the Giants front seven, between Thibodeau and Burns and Dexter Lawrence. And Nacho's not a bad three technique. Linebackers, I mean, holy smokes. Bobby Okereke should have gone to the Pro Bowl last year. They decided not to play Isaiah Simmons. They played Dane Belton instead as the money backer, which I'm not exactly sure exactly why they did that, but that's what they did. They said it was a matchup issue. That didn't work out so well. But I am so impressed with the Giants' talent on front seven, and they were invisible last week. They did some decent things against the run. It wasn't so bad there. But the pass rush, which, you know, Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator who came over from Tennessee, relies on the front four. He doesn't want to blitz very much. He basically wants to say to those four studs up front, hey, guys, you get it done. And they were just invisible. It was, and they blamed part of it on the scheme. The Vikings, at every single pass play, they either added an extra blocker or had a chip on every single pass play on the edges. So they clearly were willing to give up something. Well, how much did they give up? They wound up scoring 28 points, including a pick six, of course. But the Giants did not fight through their one-on-one battles nearly enough. And to me, that was the biggest shock in the game, that the Giants did not get the pass rush on Darnold because, as you say, he sees ghosts. And they basically did nothing to cause him any consternation. And that was ridiculous. I never would have predicted that going into the game. So we'll see. We will see. Jaden Daniels, I know he's going to want to run. This guy wants to have a track meet every week. I don't know if he's going to have to run if the Giants can't get home.
Yeah, Paul, one of the guys at the bottom of that box score was Kayvon Thibodeau. He was basically invisible. He did have one quarterback hit, didn't have any tackles, didn't have any sacks. And then I saw the clip of him in the locker room postgame. He didn't want to talk about the defensive struggles. Like, he was like, no comment, next question. He was very dismissive of one of the reporters. So I just thought that was a bad look for him coming off a poor performance like you touched on.
Well, actually, I looked at that in two ways. The reporter was baiting him. It was the third question in a row as the guy went after him pretty hard, where Thibodeau finally said, okay, next question. And you guys know, there are some guys who will ask a question in a professional manner, and then there's other guys who clearly are trying to dangle some bait, trying to get a reaction. This reporter tried to get a reaction, and he got one. To Thibodeau's, on his side of the ledger, he's got to do a better job. He's got to know that there's bait being thrown in the water, and he's got to do a better job of not falling into it. So I kind of think that was a bad look for both parties, if you really want me to be honest with you. As far as Thibodeau is concerned, though, this is a guy who has had tremendous success against the Washington franchise. You mentioned Daniel Jones earlier. Usually throws the ball well against them. Thibodeau's done the same thing. I mean, in 2 years against Washington, I got him for 5.5 sacks of his 15.5 in his career thus far. And we know about the big play he made on the strip sack back down there in Landover on the touchdown. So, you know, if you want to pick a game for him to get well, this would be the one, right?
You would think.
So how are you feeling about the game? How are you feeling about the matchup?
Well, I mean, it's a show-me game for both teams, right?
Yes.
I'm sure Washington is incredibly disappointed with the way they performed. I do believe the Giants have more talent on their 53 than Washington, and you know, but that what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both teams played horrible last week, and they're both in show-me mode. They need to show that they can play as good as the back of their football card. And I still believe that the biggest part of that, and you guys will have to tell me, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I still think that this September preseason football is horrific. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think starters play enough in August, and I think this is part of the reason why we see such poor, subpar, quite frankly, preseason quality football.
Yeah.
And when you're a middleweight team like the Giants are, you're not a heavyweight team, you're a middleweight team. You can't play, you know, preseason football in the regular season. You will lose. You could lose to a high school team when you play that badly. And I'm sure the Washington Commanders probably feel the same way.
Hey,
you tell me, how many of the starters played a whole lot of snaps in the preseason?
Not many.
Yeah, very few.
Not many. All right, Paul.
Well, guys, and you rebuilt your line, right? You rebuilt your defense and you rebuilt your line. Mm-hmm. So why would you not play these guys more snaps? Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, coaches are scared of injury.
They are. They're terrified of it. But
yeah, well, you know what? When you're scared and you don't go for it, you usually get buried.
Yeah, it's a big one because, you know, both cities think this is a must win. Certainly we do down here. So, hey, Paul, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Always good to be with you.
Yep. Right. Good to have you, man. Good to
Paul
talk
DiTino
to you.
Paul covers the Giants for WFN New York. Coming up next. We won in week one.
We did, yes.
We'll try and hit it again in week two. Our touchdown parlay. That's next here on the Junkies. Touchdown parlay.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We've been doing weekend parlays for a while. We'd only won two. There was a lot of variance on our picks. People would pick golf. People would pick all these different things. Now we've honed in on touchdowns.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we would pick a parlay that, you know, $10 would pay $21,000.
Right.
You're just
never going to hit
never
that.
Gonna have, you got a better chance hitting a Powerball. I mean, it's not going to do it.
So we hit in week one. There was a little controversy because, I don't know if it's controversy, Jason originally picked T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Then replaced him with Christian McCaffrey.
Out.
And luckily,
can you pick a guy that plays the site, ever?
I think this
the
guy's
site
playing.
Voided it. Okay. So the rest of the picks hit. So let's get right to it. It is week two, our touchdown parlay.
Very good. Who's going to lead off? Who's the lead back here?
All right, I'll go. My lead back's going to be James Conner.
Ooh, like it.
Look, he's a veteran. He's been in the league 8 years, but he's kind of a grinder. And it just seems like he's just a regular touchdown scorer. Doesn't matter who he's playing against. Mm-hmm. He's got 52 rushing touchdowns, plus 10 receiving touchdowns, Chris. He's got 62.
It's pretty nice. Built a nice career.
He had one last week.
Yeah.
And I just feel good about him, especially since they're playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get inside the red zone, inside the 5, inside the 10, they give him the ball a lot.
Yeah. He's one of the few workhorse backs kind of still left in the league.
He really is.
There aren't many guys like him that really dominate the carries for their team.
He really is.
A lot of split backfields.
And they're playing the Rams. I think the Rams can give up some yards on the ground. So mm-hmm. I like James Conner to score a tutty. It's a 405 kick on Fox against the Rams on Sunday, and he's minus 115.
All right, that's in. James Conner in on the parlay.
All right, behind the glass, Mitch. They're Myers.
All right, I had two lined up, but this one, I love this one so much. This is almost a guarantee.
Okay.
This guy will see the end zone. I'm guaranteeing it right now.
All right.
Amon-Ra St. Brown will score a touchdown.
Sun God.
Against Tampa.
Okay.
I believe Tampa's missing their starting safety.
Yep.
They're missing a starting corner. And Amon-Ra, revenge game, I think he was limited to a handful of catches week one.
Pretty quiet in week one, yeah.
Huge bounce back for him. He's gonna reach the end zone. He has to reach the end zone. And I believe it's even money.
Amon-Ra in on the bet. Let me double check. Amon-Ra plus 100.
Yes, even money.
Even money.
All right.
Plus, I need him for fantasy.
Well, of course. I knew that was one of the underlying topics there.
All right, cakes.
All right, I have a question for you. If you're Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, would you rather Justin Herbert, when he takes the snap, when he turns around and hands the ball off to the running back, would you hand it off to a guy who averaged 13.5 yards per carry in week one, or would you hand the ball off to the guy who averaged 2.4 yards per carry in week one?
I'm going to hand it off to J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins averaged 13.5 yards per carry and found the end zone. Gus Edwards is a slug. Sorry, Valdez. He's just slow. He's getting up there in years. He's not a receiving threat. He's a slug compared to J.K. Dobbins.
I know, but why are you apologizing to me?
Well, because the Gus bus was a Raven for a long time.
He's not a Raven anymore.
Okay, that's true. He's wearing different laundry now. I understand. All right, so the Chargers travel east to take on the horrible, terrible, awful, just hideous Carolina Panthers at home, who had 47 hung on them last week by a pretty mediocre team in the New Orleans Saints. So I just feel like Dobbins is going to plunge into the end zone. Plus, I'm getting him at plus 160.
Yeah, that's a good number.
A great number. And again, he only had 10 carries, and I understand because of his long injury history, you want to kind of save him and baby him. I think his carries get a slight uptick. He should get 13 to 15 carries, and Gus should get about 4 or 5. Just to spell J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins plunges into the end zone at, is it Bank of America Stadium? I can't keep up with all the stadium names. In Charlotte, he will score a touchdown, and he will help said parlay.
Gotcha. In with Dobbins.
Dobbins.
Plus 160. All yes. right. So that just leaves J.P., right?
J.P. and Drab. Possibly.
The boys behind the glass are splitting up this week.
Oh, they are.
Since Eric's not here, so we have 5 players.
And right, Moore's a wild card.
It seems like we're going with a lot of running backs.
I saw a head shake there from Drabby. Yeah.
I almost want to pivot.
Might be more of a running league than it is a passing league.
I almost want to pivot.
Especially with all the quarterbacks getting hurt.
But I'm going to stick to my core. I was looking at the lineup of games, and the Saints, who Cakes just mentioned, thrashed Carolina last week. They head to Dallas to take on a Cowboys team that's won 16 in a row in the regular season at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dallas is going to make a statement this week. I think they're going to handle the Saints. They're favored by 6. And the guy who's going to get the ball into the end zone for sure is Zeke. Zeke, back with the Cowboys. He may not be their main running back.
I love Zeke.
But Last week, 10 carries for 40 yards and a score. Mm-hmm. I think he's their goal line back. I think he's their workhorse when they get to the end zone. I think Zeke gets into the end zone, and it's a meaningful game for him because if he gets to 56 yards, he hits 9,000 in his career.
I'll be bitter if Rico Dowdle plunges in the end zone instead of Zeke, but we'll see.
All right, so that's in.
I like the Zeke pick. He's minus 115.
Yeah, so, I mean, Vegas is kind of expecting him to score.
As is Connor. Same number for him.
Correct. All right, Mr. Drabby, Matt Cahill.
Last week, Friday night, the Packers had a hell of a time stopping the run. And Saquon, it was ugly. It was embarrassing. And we had a little luck last week with a Colts rushing touchdown with Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stick with the Colts.
That last drive.
But we're not going to go with Richardson. We're going to go with the homecoming game for Jonathan Taylor coming back to Wisconsin. He scored in 7 straight games, getting back to last season. I think it's the league high right now. So we're going to go Jonathan Taylor rushing touchdown or receiving touchdown. Plus, I think it's plus 115.
It is.
I love that play.
Yeah, I like it. Did he score last?
He scored last week as well.
All right, that is in. Jonathan Taylor.
Everybody's in.
That just so Mike Marr's not.
I think Mike Marr's been iced.
All right, he's not.
We can put Marr. It's a little payout's a little light.
The payout is light. Now,
all right, what are we currently?
Do you want me to tell you the current payout?
Yes.
And then if Marr is in, what the payout is?
Current payout is.
Current payout, $10 pays $380.77.
Okay. It's pretty good.
Do we want to go? I feel like we want to go bigger.
It's up to you guys.
I can bring some juice to this parlay. I feel
like we should go a little bit bigger.
Can you give me the reminder? It was Connor, Dobbin, Zeke,
St. Brown,
and Taylor.
St. Brown.
Yeah. You know what? Let's at least listen to the rationale.
Let's
figure out what we're going to do.
All right. Sunday Night Football, Chicago Bears travel to Houston. Battle of the Young QBs, C.J. Stroud against Caleb Williams. Both teams got the W in week one. Give me Stephon Diggs to score anytime, plus 165. Last week against the Colts, he found the end zone twice. Diggs is a dog, and he's going to cross the paint again on Sunday.
I get a little nervous because it's the reverse do factor. Okay. He had 2 touchdowns last week.
He did have 2.
But I'm willing to roll with it.
Now, if we add Diggs into the mix, the payout jumps from $380 to $1,025. Oh. So, I mean, it's a sizable jump in the payout.
It definitely is.
If you're willing to roll the bones.
I kind of like the idea of having a Sunday night sweat because it's at night.
I like that, too.
For that amount of money.
Let's go for it. Go for the $1,025.
All right, so 6-leg parlay, $10, will pay everybody $1,025.54. We're going big. We're going to try to go big this time.
Coming up next is John Feinstein here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.